So today is a very special day on the Vaishnav calendar for several different reasons. One reason is it's the appearance day of Shyamananda, it's the appearance day of Vamshivadana Thakur, it's the Balaram's Rasa Dance, and it's Krishna's Spring Rasa Dance. And it's also, for those of you who don't know, it is the appearance day of Radha Kunj. And so that's a little controversial because people think Radha Kunj appeared in Bahuvastami and Kartik. But Srila Jiva Goswami, in his commentary on the Bhagavatam, gives a time frame of all of Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. And he says specifically it occurred, the Rasa dance occurred on the Chaitra Purnima. So that's Jiva Goswami. Now there, because there's local legends and things like that, but we go along with our acharyas. So what occurred on the Bahulastami, that was Lord Chaitanya finding Radha Kunj. So that's really important to understand the difference. So in any case, tonight I'm going to speak about the appearance of Radha Kunj, and this morning we're going to speak about those great personalities on Balaram's Rasa Dance. So let me just tune the guitar for a second. Last night was a really late program.
Thank you.
Vishnupad, Paramahansa Parabhadacharya, also Teta, Sadashi, Shimad, His Divine Grace Abhaya, Chanana Adabhata Vananda, Gosabe, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, ISKCON Founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Nandakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai, Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai, Prem Se Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda Sridvaita Garadha, Srila Vasiti Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai, Shri Shri Radhakrishna, Gopi Gopinath, Sayam Kunda, Radhakunda, Giri Govardhan Kijai, Vrindavanam Kijai, Maturnam Kijai, Jagadathasami Kijai, Yamunamai Kijai, Shrimati Dalasi Devi Kijai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Kijai, Gaur Premananda, Hari Hari, all glorious the assembled devotees, all glorious the assembled devotees, all glorious the assembled devotees, all glorious to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Om Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prastaya Buddhale, Srimati Bhaktivananda Swami, Namaste, Saraswati Devi, Gauravati Pacharni, Nipasesa, Sunyavati, Pashtata Deja, Tari, Om Aganati, Mugandha, Shaka, Nanjana, Shubhaya, Chakshuram, Meditam, Yena, Tasmai, Shubhaya, Maha. So, as I mentioned, today is a very special day. Someone sent me a message here. It's Hanuman. It's not Hanuman Jayanti. Yesterday was Hanuman Jayanti. So, anyway, so today is a very special day. It's Balaram's Rasa Dance, special Rasa Dance, Krishna's Spring Rasa Dance. Of course, it's spring in the Northern Hemisphere. And it's the appearance day of Vamsi Vedanta Thakur and Shyamananda Goswami. So we're going to speak briefly about a few of those topics. First of all, we're going to talk about Balaram's Rasa Dance. So as we all know, Krishna left Vrindavan at a very young age. Some acharyas say 12, other acharyas say 16. But anyway, he left Vrindavan, and he left all the residents of Vrindavan very much bereft of his association, you know, lamenting. And they were suffering tremendously. Can you imagine how cruel Krishna is? You see, similar pastimes with Lord Ram. Lord Ram sent Sita Devi away. Very cruel. God is very cruel, isn't he? And you see, with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what did he do? Does anyone know?
Left his wife.
Sanyas.
Yeah, took sannyas when his wife was 16 years of age. Ooh. So it appears that the Lord is very cruel. But actually, he's not cruel, because on the spiritual platform, when one experiences the mood of vipralamba, intense separation, one is actually connected. There's actually more connection than when you're meeting. In the material world, when you meet or you're disconnected, you're always disconnected. Because two people, they're meeting, but they have different ideas. Like, for example, oh my God, I shouldn't use this example. You get very upset with me occasionally. So let's say one has a pet, a dog, so one is thinking, dog really loves me. And the dog is thinking, where's the food? I just want someone to play with. I just want someone to play with, you know. And the dog doesn't think, you know, boy, I love that guy. The dog is thinking, he feeds me, you know, so I have to act nicely with him. And the cat, for example, if you were to suddenly shrink yourself to the size of a mouse, your cat that you love would eat you. Isn't that true? So you were thinking love, love. So anyway, but in the spiritual platform, Haribol, good to see you again. So in the spiritual platform, it's actually love, and whether there's connection or disconnection, or in other words, separation or meeting, it's all, you're always with your beloved, who's Krishna. And Krishna's always with Radharani, and Lord Chaitanya is always with his wife Vishnupriya. And basically, Ram is always with Sita. I mean, like you see, when Hanuman opened his heart, it was Ram and Sita. It wasn't just Ram there. So we should not look at these different pastimes. We should look at these different pastimes from a material perspective. So getting back to the point, Krishna left Vrindavan, and the residents of Vrindavan were bereft, waiting for him to come back. And he had promised them he was coming back, but he decided not to come back. And the reason he decided not to come back was because they would experience more separation or more anxiety had he come back, because they were going to be waiting for him to leave again. Once you've been traumatized, it's called PTSD. You understand what I'm talking about? Then the same thing happens again. It wakes up all this trauma. So he didn't want to traumatize the residents of Vrindavan. So he had another plan to send the residents of Vrindavan some messages. And of course, we all know about the story of Uddhava going to Vrindavan to send the messages, and there's the song of the bumblebee there in the Srimad Bhagavatam. But in this particular case, he decided to send Balaram. So Balaram was also missing all of his friends in Vrindavan, and he wanted to go too. So he took Krishna's permission, and he went to Vrindavan. And so immediately when he went to Vrindavan, of course he went to Nanda and Yashoda, and he actually sat on Yashoda Mahi's lap, and Yashoda Mahi was crying, and he was asking how his relatives were doing. And the gopis asked something very interesting of Balaram. He said, how is Krishna doing with all those city women? There's some transcendental envy because, sophisticated ladies in the city. His wives were rather sophisticated because Krishna's wives were Kshatriya ladies, generally. Yeah, they were all Kshatriya ladies, actually. And so really sophisticated. Whereas the coward girls, they were just village girls, Vaishyas. And so relatively unsophisticated. So they were thinking, we cannot have him back because basically he's with all these really high-class ladies. And he asked, does he remember us at all? Does he remember any of the service we rendered for him? And then they asked, this is all from the Bhagavatam. I'm making reference to that. They say, we gave up everything for him, and he abandoned us. So they have this, really anger towards Krishna, too. So this anger is also a symptom of love. Like we find, there's a description that Rupa Goswami gives in the Nectar of Devotion about how we all have, or everyone has, one of five different rasas. And in addition, there's seven indirect rasas. Seven, such as humor, ghastliness, but one of them is anger. So here they're exhibiting their anger towards Krishna, but it's the anger of love, or man. And this is one statement they make. How can the city women believe him? It must be, in other words, he's not trustworthy. Why are they, who are much more sophisticated than us, believing this rascal? And they said, it must be his smile which awakens lust. He's tricking us. Krishna's tricking us by his smile. And they say, let's talk about something else. Forget about Krishna. They're trying to forget, but they can't forget about Krishna. And Balaram gives them a confidential message from Krishna. And it's interesting that Balaram is also called Sankarshan. Sankarshan means he who attracts the mind. Another meaning is he who attracts the mind towards Krishna, which is really interesting. And he actually told the stories about Krishna to the gopis and began to preach to them. He preached to them in three different ways. Transcendental knowledge, which didn't go very far. Transcendental knowledge, you're not the body. Someone's lamenting, where is Krishna? Don't you understand you're not the body? In the future you'll go back to Godhead. Okay, Balaram. And then but then at one point he was conciliatory. That means empathic. He said, I understand basically your separation from Krishna. Okay. And they felt a little better about that. And then in the third way, he talked about Krishna's very powerful anyway. He can be with you. and that didn't help them either. So then, Balaram began, this is the most interesting part of this, Balaram's rasa yatra. He began to have his own rasa dance. Now, Balaram has his own gopis. He doesn't dance with Krishna's gopis, try to understand that. And they were different, and he began to dance by the Yamuna in this place called Ramghat. And any of you have been to, anyone's been there? Ramghat in Braj?
Yes.
You've been there. Okay. So they began to dance, and he got drunk. So even in the spiritual world, people drink and get intoxicated. Everything that's here in this world is there in its original pure state. So, you know, whether there's loving, different types of loving exchanges, conjugal love, or intoxication. But here, those things are not so desirable. Isn't it? You know, intoxication, someone gets drunk, it's horrible. So, like I told the devotees, I was doing a lot of preaching at the university, and on the weekends I would wake up early and sometimes take a little walk, and there'd be people strewn all over the sidewalks, you know, just lying there. Even when I went to the university many years ago, in the dormitory, you know, it's Sunday morning, everybody would be in the halls or lying out, their tongue hanging out. You know, very abominable. But Balaram's intoxication is not abominable. So he was drinking this Varuni. Varuni beverage was sent by Varuna, the god of the water, and it flowed, actually, this Varuna beverage. It came from the trees, too. And he and all the girls got drunk. Actually, Krishna, there's some instances of Krishna getting drunk when Krishna was in Vrindavan, too. Not in Dwarka. Dwarka, Krishna never got drunk. He behaved himself. But in Vrindavan, there's some, they made honey wine, and they were so drunk, Krishna and the gopis, don't imitate this, but anyway, they were so drunk that they, when they poured the honey wine, the glass was upside down. I don't know if you've ever seen, like, sometimes wine glasses, they look like, you understand, it looks like the top is the bottom, the bottom is the top. And actually, a similar thing happened with a glass, not with wine, to Srila Prabhupada. One time, a devotee was serving Srila Prabhupada, and there was this wine glass for water. Prabhupada was using it for water. And it was upside down, and the devotee poured the water. And it got all over Prabhupada's desk. So anyway, so Krishna and the gopis, they would also get intoxicated and enjoy different dances like that. So they were like Gandharvas. Balaram and his gopis were like Gandharvas. He sang, they sang, and as described in the Bhagavatam, he enjoyed like a male elephant with a she-elephant, like Airavata, Indra's elephant. It's described, his eyes rolled. I don't know if you've ever seen a drunk person. Their eyes roll like that. And so he wanted to go bathing in the Yamuna. And so he said, Yamuna, you better come here. And she said, no, you're drunk. I don't have to listen. You may be God, but you're drunk. And he got so angry that he dragged the Yamuna to him with the end of his plow. And I said to her, oh, sinful one. And eventually she apologized. And then Balaram entered the Yamuna with the gopis and his own consort, his own lodgemate. And he was given blue garments. And he enjoyed, and it was like many, many nights passed as one night. And this way Balaram enjoyed his rasa. So that's what happened on this particular day. So that's Balaram. Balaram's rasa dance. And next we're going to talk about Shyamananda. He's a very interesting personality. So, actually, just let me mention a little bit about Vamsi Vinan, whose appearance day it is today. He's considered to be, he's an associate of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, considered to be an incarnation of Krishna's flute. And he was Satchimata's servant. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left this world, he served Satchimata and Vishnupriya. He was also married and had his descendants and everything like that. The very, very important personality in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. Now, Shyamananda, we're going to speak more about Shyamananda. Shyamananda is the one of the three main devotees who are the second generation descendants, the Siplex descendants from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the first generation, of course, they were the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, like Rupin Sanatan Goswami. Second generation is Shyamananda, Narottamadas Thakur, and Srinivas Acharya. And they're the ones who actually started book distribution and preaching all over India. And they really expanded things dynamically. So here's the story of Shyamananda. Shyamananda was first called Duki when he was born, because his parents had other children who died before him. He was actually the only one who survived. And he had all the signs of a Mahapurush. Signs of a Mahapurush mean that you have eyes like lotus petals, and like, not exactly Chinese, but, but eyes like lotus petals. And I've seen that with certain people. I mean, I can't see with anyone here. You all have round eyes like marbles. But it's considered a sign of a Mahapurusha, or the arms would reach to the knees, not when one's sitting, but when one is standing. Can you imagine that? I don't think anyone here has that, those proportions of the body. So one could see, even by the proportion of the body, that he was a Nitya Siddha devotee. So he was asked one time by his father, who's your spiritual master? And he said, my spiritual master is Hridaya Chaitanya. Now, there's an interesting story about Hridaya Chaitanya. Like Hridaya Chaitanya's spiritual master is Goridas Pandit. So Goridas Pandit is Subal in Krishna's pastimes. So the interesting story about Shyamananda's spiritual master is as follows, that Hridaya Chaitanya, he was actually called Hridaya Ananda before. And that means blissful heart, one who has Ananda Hridaya, blissful heart. So what happened is that he was serving his spiritual master, Goridas Pandit, and taking care of these very special deities of Gornatai that Goridas Pandit had. These deities were actually carved as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu posed for the carving. Because Goridas Pandit, who was an associate of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, would not let Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda go. He said, you have to stay here. And Lord Chaitanya said, okay, I can't stay here forever. So you can make some deities of me. So there's Gornatai deities, very, very beautiful Gornatai deities. Ambika Kalna is where they are right now. So then Goridas Pandit said to his disciple Hridayananda at that time, please take care of these deities, I have to go somewhere. Then it came time for Gaur Purnima, the celebration of the appearance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so Hridayananda decided to send invitations out and have a festival, you know, even though his guru wasn't there. So his guru gets back and he says, why did you do this without my permission? You rascal. You shouldn't do anything without my permission. Heavy guru. Sure. It'd be interesting to do that with disciples. Don't do anything. Because actually the training for brahmacharis was like that. That you're not supposed to eat until your guru calls you to eat. Otherwise you fast. There's many stories in the Mahabharata about the training the brahmachari gets from the spiritual master. I'll just tell one story. And once upon a time, this is not a Goridas Pandit or a Chaitanya story, but it tells about the training that you have to be a brahmachari. So once upon a time, there was a guru, and his disciple was horizontally challenged. It's politically correct language. It means he ate a little bit too much weight. You got to be careful nowadays. You don't want to shame anybody. Right?
People are sensitive.
People are sensitive. She's as horizontally, vertically challenged, mentally challenged, devotionally challenged. You can't say someone's invited. Just say, you're challenged. So anyway, his disciple, he wanted his disciple to lose some weight. So he sends his disciples out to take care of the cows. And what happens is his disciple comes back and he's gaining weight. And he says, What you doing? He said, the disciple says, well, I'm out there taking care of the cows, I'm begging, you know, I'm collecting a lot of nice food. He says, no, you have to offer everything to your guru before you eat. Okay. And so goes out again, comes back, is still gaining some weight. And the guru says, what are you doing now? He says, I'm offering everything I begged the first time to you, the second time is for me. This story from the Mahabharata, actually an interesting story. And then it says, no, every time you should offer to me. So then he goes out. But then the same thing's happening. He keeps gaining more and more weight. And the guru says, what are you doing now? He says, I'm drinking the milk. The guru said, no, the milk is meant for the calves. So he goes out again, and he's still gaining weight. And the guru says, what are you eating? He said, well, there's froth when the calves are actually eating from their mother. You know, there's froth coming, so I just... You know, every time the calf is there, he's putting his mouth there, right next to the calf. It's pretty interesting, isn't it? Take a picture of that one. You know. Put it on Facebook. So the guru says, no, you cannot put anything in your mouth without my permission. So the disciple goes out. The poor guy, you know. He's out there. He doesn't know what to do, and everything he looks at, when you're really hungry, everything you look at is potential food. So he sees a leaf on a tree and he just throws it in his mouth and he gets blind. And he falls in a ditch. So the guru's wondering, what happened to my disciple? Did he bloop or what? So he sends his other disciples to find the disciple. The disciple's really trained up nicely. This is the training. Brahmachari Guru Kule Vasantanta Guruji Tam. So then he finds him in a ditch and doesn't take his disciple out of the ditch. But he tests the disciple even more. He says, pray to the Ashwini Kumaras, you know, the Heavenly Society physicians, and they'll help you. So the disciple prays, following the order of his guru. There's such faith he has in his guru. And then the Ashwini Kumaras come and they give him, they say, here's some special cake medicine. You take this and you'll get your sight back. And at this point, he's learned his lessons. He says, I'm not taking anything without my guru's permission. And then they bless him and he gets his sight back and he lives happily ever after. And then the guru gives him permission to get married, because that's how the training is for a brahmachari. Before one could be, in the Vedic system, before one could be a good grihastha, one gets trained up I guess it's obedience training. Brahmachari Guru Kule Vasantanta Guru. And actually that's how I was trained up, with serving Prabhupada for a while. Till I rebelled. Anyways, so getting back to the story, okay. Hridaya Chaitanya, Hridaya Ananda. So his guru was really angry with him that he had arranged for this Gorpanima festival. And the guru said, get out of here, I don't want to see you again. But because he was such a great devotee, the deities followed him. And he just went with him. Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. And so then his guru, Gauridas Pandit, got ready to open up the altar, you know, for greeting the deities, darshanarti. And there were no deities there. He thought, you know, where are my deities? So he ran, really angry at Lord Chaitanya and at his disciple, and he ran with a stick, you know. And the deities, it's an interesting story. This is an interaction the pure devotees have with their Lord. So he runs, and the deities jump into the heart of Sri Dayananda, who becomes Hriday Chaitanya. That means Chaitanya is in his heart. So that's the story of Hriday Chaitanya. So getting back to Shyamananda, Shyamananda says that Hriday Chaitanya is my guru. And you see in this particular disciplic succession, there's some anger that's exhibited from time to time. You'll hear about this in a second. So he accepts initiation. Initiation from Hriday Chaitanya. And he's very happy. And he gets the name Duki Krishnadas. So that's his original name. So then he's sent to Vrindavan to study with Srila Jiva Goswami. Srila Jiva Goswami is the most erudite scholar of all time. Amazing. If you read some of his commentaries, I have the commentaries of Jiva Goswami on the Srimad Bhagavatam, and they're amazing. And of course, if you read his elaborate theses, the Tattva Sandarbha, the Krama Sandarbha, the Krishna Sandarbha, the Shat Sandarbhas, they're the most elaborate exposition on Vaishnava philosophy or any type of philosophy, beginning with what we call epistemology, that anybody has ever written, any religious person has ever written. I mean, if you read Jiva Goswami, you become really proud that you're a member of disciplic succession, that his followers. So anyway, so he studies with, that is, Duki Krishnadas studies with Jiva Goswami, and he's given the duty, not only studying, not just scholar, you have to do some menial service. So he's cleaning this kunja, which is called Kanaka Kunj. And what happens is that while he's cleansing the kunj, which Radha and Krishna had pastimes in every night, one night, Radharani, you know, by accident, she, or purpose, she leaves her nupura, ankle bell, and he discovers it. He discovers it under one of the desire trees, because all the trees in Vrindavan are desire trees. I'll tell you a story about that. Anyway, this is a famous story I've told before, but my own experience. One time I was in Vrindavan with one of my godbrothers. He was about 55 years old, and his wife had left him. And he wanted to get remarried. So I went up to the desire tree, embraced it, and said, please let him not get, you know, he's a little old for this sort of stuff. Said, please let him not get remarried again. You know, start another family again at 55. I mean, that's kind of late, isn't it? And so I'm embracing the tree, and I said, you know, I was praying for you, I tell him. And he says, no, Maharaj, don't do that. And he went up to the same tree and held it 10 times tighter. And then a few days after that, he was married, so again. So desire trees work. You got to be careful what you desire. So all the trees are desire trees. So getting back to Gauranga. To Duki Krishnadas. So he found the Nupura, and it was glowing. And he tied it on his neck, and then he buried it, and the shovel he used to bury it with turned gold in color when he did that. Wow. So later on, Lalita Devi was sent to retrieve this Nupura. And so she was in disguise, obviously. You can't see Lalita Devi or any of these personalities with our mundane vision. So she goes up to Shyamananda and she says, I'm just one of the village girls. My friend basically left her ankle bell. And he told her, you're not just an ordinary village girl. You're Lalita Devi and it's Radha's. And eventually Lalita confesses, you know, actually, you're right. So this way he had an argument with Lalita. And he says, I want to see your actual form. And she says, not possible. And he said, by your mercy, I can see your actual form. And so in a secluded place, she manifests her actual form as Lalita Devi to him. And he fainted, and she put her feet on his head. And he, you know, obviously, this is definitely an ecstatic moment. he's crying, rolling on the ground, and says, I want to be your servant and serve Radha and Krishna eternally. And so Lalita gives him a mantra at this particular point. That anytime he chants it, he can see Radha and Krishna. Wow. And enter into, not only see them, but enter into their pastimes in his spiritual body. So you'll find with many of these great personalities, they were able in their meditation and their spiritual bodies to simultaneously, while their external body was here in this world, they were able to enter into Radha and Krishna's pastimes. So then he digs up the ankle bell, and Lalita touches this ankle bell to his forehead, and actually gives him the name Shyamananda at that particular time. He says, your name from now on is not Dukhi Krishnadas, it's Shyamananda. But don't tell anyone, but you can tell Jiva Goswami. So he cries and he faints, and now his complexion changes. He has a golden complexion here, glowing gold. So, you know, everybody can see what's happening. Then he returns to Jiva Goswami, and Jiva Goswami says, where did you get that complexion, you know? And where'd you get that tilak from? And Shyamananda tells him, you know, tells him the whole story. And Jiva Goswami asks to see the shovel, the spade it's called. And then Jiva Goswami says, I have become your property. And he told Shyamananda to understand that whatever happens has happened, it happened because of the mercy of your guru. You know, you shouldn't think, you know, I'm better than my guru now. My guru is actually a coward boy, and I'm a gopi. These are just material considerations, isn't it?
Yeah.
The one is thinking his guru is looking at the guru through mundane vision. So, anyway, but everyone, it became a subject of rumors and talk in Vrindavan, because everyone thought that Jiva Goswami had reinitiated, which is actually a great offense to reinitiate someone who has taken the mantra. Once you've taken the mantra, you've taken the mantra. And so they thought Jiva Goswami, you know, gave him a new name, gave him a different tilak, you know, Jiva Goswami is guilty. So they, you know how rumors spread. So they conveyed that information to his spiritual master, Hridaya Chaitanya. Hridaya Chaitanya was really angry as anything. So he sent devotees to Vrindavan to find out what had actually happened. And Srila Jiva Goswami defended Shyamananda. He said, the tilak and the name was given by Hridaya Chaitanya in a dream. And Shyamananda said, yes, it was a dream. And so the devotees went back to Bengal, which is where Hridaya Chaitanya was. And Hridaya Chaitanya said, there's no such dreams. I wasn't there in the dream. And you know, sometimes I have that experience too, that people say, Guru Maharaj, you gave me this instruction in a dream. You know, I say one thing to people externally, and they say, well, in the dream you said something different. So I can choose which instruction I want to follow, you know. It's like going to a doctor and say, can I get a different opinion? Yeah. The dream doctor. Anyway, so dreams should not be taken seriously. So then, Hridaya Chaitanya thought, I got to go there myself to correct this rascal. And he inquired from Shyamananda. He said, who is your guru? And Shyamananda said, you're my guru, and I got this name and tilak by your mercy. Hridaya Chaitanya got angry and said, we're going to wipe off this tilak. I don't care what you think. We're going to wipe off the tilak. And if it remains, then we can understand it's real. So Shyamananda got really excited at this particular point, didn't want to lose the tilak given to him by Lalita Devi. So he chants this mantra, the Radha mantra, and in his spiritual body, enters into the temple where Srimati Radharani is, and he's actually outside. He begins to cry outside the temple in his spiritual form. You know, it's all, they're just seeing Shyamananda with his eyes closed at this point. You know, they don't know what's happening. So he begins to cry in his spiritual body. Spiritually, in a spiritual form, he's known as Kanaka Manjari. So he's crying outside, saying, basically, she says, my husband is beating me. You know, sometimes Swami means husband, sometimes it means guru, but in this particular case, a man is spiritual master. It's interesting. Swami means someone who controls, and Goswami is someone who controls the senses. So Lalita Devi is inside making a betel for Srimati Radharani, and she gives the message to Radharani, and then Radharani says, bring Kanaka Manjari inside, near Shyamananda, same person. And Radha is eating this betel, and Rupa Manjari, this is the whole scenario, is massaging Srimati Radharani's legs, and Champaka Lata, who's another one of the primary gopis, is fanning Srimati Radharani. So they explain the whole story. And Radha, at this point, is really interesting. She speaks to Subal, who is the grand spiritual master of Shyamananda, because he's the spiritual master of Vridhai Chaitanya. Remember that? And so he's there in his spiritual body. And Subal paints Shyamananda on the chest, as well as the tilak on the forehead. And Radha orders him, he said, when you actually are able to rectify the situation with your spiritual master, you should tour Orissa with Rasika Murari and preach Krishna consciousness. So in the meantime, you know, external consciousness, everyone is bewildered. Everyone is completely bewildered. What's happening? His eyes close. People are crying. Jiva Goswami understands exactly what's happening at this point because he knows the whole story about the Radha mantra and everything. And so basically they try to rub off his name and also his tilak, and just keeps appearing. So Hridaya Chaitanya is not yet satisfied. You know, even though he's tested him, you know, he gets angry, which is all right. I mean, sometimes pure devotees get angry when someone violates Vaishnava etiquette because he thinks he's violating Vaishnava etiquette. So he thinks his disciple is not being chased because he's expressing a different bhav, you know, a different emotion, like gopi bhav instead of sakya bhav. Sakya bhav means friendship. So he's thinking, oh my God, you know, he's unchaste, he should be a coward boy like me. But actually, each and every person has their own rasa. You know, you may have a guru who is a gopi or a coward boy or in parental relationship, and you may be in any other relationship. And the guru is able to guide one in one's relationship, even if the guru has a different relationship. So anyway, so he comes back and is, you know, Hridaya Chaitanya comes back and Shyamananda explains that even Hridaya Chaitanya's spiritual master, Gauridas, is serving Radha and Krishna. So what's wrong with serving Radha and Krishna? He's arguing with his guru. And then Hridaya Chaitanya starts to beat his disciple with a stick. You know, it's a pretty interesting disciple-guru relationship. Nowadays you go to jail for that. That's why I don't do that. So he beats the disciple with a stick. And so, you know, it hurts. But then Hridaya Chaitanya later on has a dream. And the next night he has a dream. Lord Chaitanya appears to him, and in that dream, Lord Chaitanya is all bloody. And Hridaya Chaitanya understands I made a mistake here. You know, Lord Chaitanya is chastising me. And so Lord Chaitanya forgives Hridaya Chaitanya, and he says you should, in compensation for what the offenses you made, you should make 12 festivals. So then later on, the story, Srila Jiva Goswami orders Shyamananda to go to Bengal and Orissa, and there he meets his great disciple Rasikananda, and they preach together Krishna consciousness. So he's known as the great Orissan saint, and his samadhi is in Ramuna. Anyone been to Ramuna here? No one. You been to Ramuna? Ramuna is where the deity of Shirachara Gopinath is. And there's a samadhi of different saints, but especially Shaimananda Samadhi is there, and Rasikananda Samadhi is there, Ramuna. And Ramuna is just about 5 hours away from Puri or Bhubaneswar. So, I think that's all we have time for today. Just keep it short. I mean, we Balarama's Rasa, Bhakti Vrindavan, and Krishna's Vasant Rasa, Krishna's Spring Rasa. So we're celebrating all those things today, as well as the appearance of Radhakund. Radhakund appeared on the Chaitra Purnima, and sort of today is actually the Pratipat, so it was like in the middle of the night Radhakund appeared. Like 11 or 12 o'clock at night, last night. So we're going to celebrate today during the evening program, the whole program. So anyone have any questions? Yes.
I always wondered, why did Jiva Goswami instruct Shamananda to lie about the initiation, about the dream to Hridaya Chaitanya?
Well, that's an interesting question. You'll have to ask Jiva Goswami. But he wanted to attribute... He wanted to attribute everything to Hridaya Chaitanya's... everything to Hridaya Chaitanya's mercy. That was important. The main thing is he wanted to have the etiquette right. And also he wanted to defend himself against the claims of reinitiating someone. So, questions, yeah.
Well, thank you for the nice class. My question is, like you said, the guru always guides the disciple, irrespective of the
rasa.
Similar or different rasa.
Right.
So in this case, if the rasas don't align, how does the guidance can align?
How does the guidance align? Well, the guru, if he's actually a bona fide guru, is expert in rasa and tattva, rasas and tattva. So he can guide, and then also he can... let the disciple have a siksha guru in that particular rasa. That's another way. But really, when we're talking about realizing one's rasa, that one begins to realize that in the stage of Raghunuga Bhakti. So in the stage of Raghunuga Bhakti, if you look at the different stages of progression and devotional service, I mean, there's sadhana bhakti, which in sadhana bhakti you have Vaidhi and Raghunuga. And then after that, you have Bhava Bhakti and after that, you have Prema Bhakti. So in the beginning stage, there's the Vaidhi, which means rules and regulations, just serving according to rules and regulations. In Raghunuga, you begin to get a glimpse of what your rasa is in the spiritual world. And you reveal that to your spiritual master, either Siksha or Diksha Guru. And because of their expert in understanding understanding Ras, they're able to facilitate your understanding of what your Ras is. It's not that the guru tells you what your Ras is. Of course, you have this process that was is the guru would look at your attraction for different things, and then he would facilitate your understanding of what your rasa was. And then based on that, you would be attracted to a particular service. I mean, this is really elevated stuff. A particular service of particular individuals in the spiritual world, and you would serve... Ragatmaka, they're called Ragatmaka devotees. You're probably familiar with the terminology. And then you would consider yourself a servant of that particular Ragatmaka devotee. That means one whose Atma or self is Rag. So, and you would meditate on that. And the guru can guide you in that. And so, there are some of the acharyas who say that according to your ras, you see your guru in that ras too. There's actually some acharyas who say that. But in any case, any bona fide guru is capable of guiding their disciple in any of the rasas. You know, any pure devotee is capable. Because they know the writings of the Goswamis and the definitions of the rasas and the symptoms of the ras. You know, it's not that difficult. I mean sometimes, I mean, it's pretty easy to understand what ras someone is in. I mean, like, let me give you an example. Like, if you got someone who's always saying Nityananda, Nityananda, then they have a specific relationship in Mayapur. So anyway, from the standpoint of the guru, from the guru's standpoint, it's not that difficult to understand and give. And if really there's some details that need to be filled in externally, you can either refer them to some of the Goswami's literatures, which deal with the different rasas, or to someone who is, let's say, able, I wouldn't say more proficient, but is able to give them other guidance. I mean, in the Vaishnava society, it's not that the guru owns the disciple, you know, the Diksha guru owns the disciple. You're all working together, like you find in this story, that Shyamananda was sent to Jiva Goswami to get educated. Now, Hridaya Chaitanya was certainly educated, but Jiva Goswami was the most educated personality. So if you're going to train someone up to be a preacher, you send them to, you know, the most proficient philosopher practically of all time other than Lord Chaitanya. So there's no question of possession like that. It's more of a dynamic between different great personalities, just like we have in ISKCON. In ISKCON, it's, you know, everyone is working to serve Srila Prabhupada. And we're actually all, you know, brothers and sisters and everything like that, regardless of who our initiating guru is. And I personally don't differentiate. You know, differentiation of people, if we differentiate, it will cause fracture in our movement. So we have to really just be, you know, we're all one family. You know, aunts and uncles and cousins and whatever. You know, we should see like that. It's not, to have guru groups or guru groupies is actually, I think, very displeasing to Prabhupada. Because Prabhupada wants his society to stay together. So that's why, you know, we have these things like the ISKCON Disciple Course where people were trained up in Prabhupada's position. There's an aspect of the course that's called the Founder Acharya, understanding Prabhupada as the Founder Acharya. I think that's really important to keep us together. So it's more of a dynamic. You know, so I had some disciple who wanted to be a tree in Vrindavan. I probably don't know too much about that. So I would send to someone who knew about trees. Anyway. Yeah.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Bo.
First of all, thank you so much for coming. It's like, in the COVID situation, like we're feeling it's a fresh breath and a fresh rain after the drought of no sannyasi and no Maharaj visit. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
My question, Maharaj, actually is from your the lecture. You're mentioning about the relationship of a guru and a disciple, where guru actually is chastising the disciple in a heavy way.
Yeah.
Like even beating and like telling him, don't drink until I have...
That's not appropriate. Beating's not appropriate. That's not... You know, that was the whole story of Hridaya Chaitanya. It wasn't appropriate for him to beat his disciple.
Like, I'm just trying to come to the point where disciple need to be very, very subservient to the guru.
Yeah.
And need to listen to him at all times. But in today's time, talking about myself, the ego is so fragile. Even a bit of correction, you take it with a lot of, you know, heavy heart.
Yeah.
So how to deal with that, actually, in today's scenario where...
So the guru is expert. I mean, the particular exchange between Hridaya Chaitanya and Shyamananda was a pastime. Try to understand, that's not taken or should be taken as an example. that, you know, that every guru should start beating the disciple, would be heavy with the disciple. I think if one is going to take on the service of guru, one has to be expert in how to deal with specific disciples. And we see that with Prabhupada, that it's interesting, like Prabhupada understood certain people were really soft, you couldn't really chastise them. Like even Prabhupada's servant, Shrutakirti, he didn't really get chastised by Prabhupada. But you take someone like Tamal Krishnamaharaj, Prabhupada really chastised him sometimes, and sometimes with sarcasm. You know, there's that whole story. Let me just shift the camera so they can see me again. So there's that whole story that Prabhupada was trying to teach humility. And he said, one time he said to Tamal Krishnamaharaj, there's many, many universes. Some of you heard this story before. Krishna's created many, 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 many universes, you know, unlimited universes. And there's one universe, and we're in this one universe.
Yes.
And then in that one universe is many, 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 many planets, and we're in this one planet, the Earth planet. And the Earth planet is many, 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 many cities, and we're in the city of Los Angeles, and Los Angeles is many, 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 many streets. And we're in this one street, and in this one street there's many houses, and there's one house here. And in this one house, there's someone named Tamal Krishnamaharaj who thinks he's the supreme controller. So Prabhupada was very expert in. I think the people who Prabhupada really knew were actually more fixed, he actually tended to deal with heavier. And they took it as a sign of love. Prabhupada often told the story about the boy whose aunt never chastised him, and then he became a criminal. And then he was condemned to death. And they asked him, do you have any final words you want to say to your aunt? And he said, yes, let me say something in her ear. And he actually bit her ear. And they said, why'd you do that? And he said, because she never chastised me. So I think, I'm not advocating heavy chastisement. You know, everybody's getting scared online. Can I find another guru? That's funny. So I'm not advocating that. It's just the guru knows how to. You have all these heavy stories in the Mahabharata. There's other heavy stories too. In the Mahabharata, actually, the first part of the Mahabharata deals with all guru training his disciples. And one disciple had to lie down in a ditch to make sure the ditch wasn't, you know, no water got out of the ditch. That was another story in the Mahabharata. So, basically, the essence is that one learns, Brahmachari Guru Kule Vasandanta Gurur Hitam. One learns to work for the benefit of the Guru. And that's really what keeps you going throughout your whole life. Like Prabhupada talked about Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary on the verse in the Bhagavad Gita, Vyavasayatma Gabu here. Ekeha Kurananda, and Prabhupada connected that with service to Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur, connected with service to the Guru, one pointed in service to the Guru. And you see, amongst all of Prabhupada's godbrothers, including himself, Prabhupada was the one who was most fixed on the order of the Guru, and therefore he was the most empowered. You know, sometimes, you know, people say, well, Prabhupada descended from the spiritual world, which is true, too. But the real way that we can ascertain, the objective way that we can ascertain and understand Prabhupada's exalted position is by seeing his devotion to his guru. His guru gave him the instruction, you have to preach in the Western world, preach in English. And he took it most seriously. That's it. You know, so Prabhupada is showing us by example, if you take the guru's instruction most seriously, you become very empowered. And you can do miracles. You know, 11 short years, Prabhupada started a worldwide society and fulfilled Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's prediction that in every town and village his name would be heard. It's amazing, isn't it? Simply by Guru Nishtha. So Brahmachari, you know, this is an interesting verse, Brahmachari Guru Kule. The Brahmachari, of course, nowadays we don't have any Brahmacharis. The sort of endangered species or extinct, sorry. Extinct species. So, but Prabhupada said the householders can be household Brahmacharis. That means they're dedicated. Because the word Brahmachari means dedicated to the spirit, you know, Brahman. So everybody can be a Brahmachari in that respect. But it really requires loyalty and dedication. And like we see in the Ramayana, there's so much loyalty and dedication between the brothers, isn't it? And to their father. Like I've often said, a few days ago I said, you know, my father told me to go to the forest. I wouldn't go. I mean, or I would ask for a camper or something like that. You know, there was a funny joke. I asked a devotee in Fiji that, some of you heard this joke before, that I said to him, because he was dedicated to his father, I said, if your father asked you to go for 14 years into the forest, would you go? And he said, yes, but I wouldn't take my wife. So that sort of loyalty in society is there in traditional society. Loyalty to one's family, loyalty to one's guru. And you see that, like, and the guru and Lord Ramchandra, Vashishta, Visramrita. I mean, so much loyalty and love. And you don't see that so much in modern society anymore. You know, people just, everyone wants their independence. But independence is right. At the same time, Prabhupada said, we don't want blind following. In the Bhagavad Gita, he says it, absurd inquiries. So it's a balance, you know. So, sometimes the guru will be testing the disciple. Sometimes the guru will want some advice. You know, the disciple asks, what should I do? And the guru says, what do you want to do? And the disciple said, no, that's not the answer I wanted. I want to be told what to do. So that's bad too, that sort of situation. You know, told what to do? Are you a baby? You're 45 years old? You know, what should I eat for dinner, Guru Maharaj? You get disciples like that, and it's really frustrating. You know, grow up, Prabhu. So that's why Prabhupada said blind following and absurd inquiries. And Prabhupada said, Prabhupada appreciated intelligence. He said independently thoughtful. He wants people to be independently thoughtful. And that's why he really appreciated Tamal Krishnamurti, because he was such a leader. You know, he was dynamic and thoughtful, was able to come up with different strategies. You know, and whenever Prabhupada, there was some difficulty, Prabhupada would always say, call for Tamal. You know, he wouldn't say call for anyone else, basically. He said call for Tamal. Because he understood, you know, Tamal was strong, independent, and Prabhupada liked that. But he was loyal to saying, he had all the good qualities, you know, complete, absolute loyalty to Prabhupada, but a strong mind, an independent, thoughtful, and creative mind. So, you know, that's the sort of balance that one needs to have, like Tamal Krishnamurti said. Okay?
Thank you so much.
Thank you. So, should we take a question online? Oh my God. People asking questions. What you done here? No questions. Yeah, no questions. That's good. No one's asking questions online. Everybody, someone just said that she chanted for a fish. Anyway, so get all these messages. She was in a park and a fish died and she chanted for the fish. Okay. That's good. Okay. people are wild on the internet. So anyway, so listening to the class. And, well, they said the fish was listening to my class because she was listening to my class. So the fish is going to become my disciple in the next class. There's a problem with interactive internet classes. All right. Okay, we should end now. And tonight at the hall program, we'll speak about the appearance of Radha Kund. Jai, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada.